Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, 74 days. I've been telling you, and we've been right. We've been ahead of the curve. There's no hyperbole, no exaggeration. The single most important midterm in our lifetime. And it's all coming to fruition. They couldn't stand Trump. They mocked, they ridiculed him the minute he and Melania came down the escalator in 2015 at Trump Tower. They laughed at the idea that he was running. They laughed at the idea he'd win the nomination. They couldn't fathom any scenario. Even November 8th, 2016, they couldn't fathom that Hillary would lose. The exit polls showed that Donald Trump lost everything. He lost Florida, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. He lost Michigan. He lost Wisconsin. He lost Ohio. He lost it all. It was a wipeout. The media, well, we have it on good authority that the exit polls are showing that, well, it looks very good for Hillary Clinton today. Not even close. He did the impossible. He won North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. And guess what? We're benefiting as a country. But that doesn't matter. It's always been, and we had no idea these deep state operatives were involved in all the shenanigans they were involved in. And now it's become what I've told you. Now it's become what I've been saying for months. This election is about five major things. They want to impeach Trump, but they're not telling you what they want to do. That it's about Obamacare. How'd that work out for you? Keeping your doctor, your plan, and paying less. Good luck with that. It's about they want the crumbs back. Pelosi said it. Elizabeth Warren has said it. That they're crumbs. Nothing but crumbs. If they're crumbs, why can't we keep the crumbs? You know what? Sometimes if you're hungry, crumbs might not be so bad. I mean, there's a reason that if you have dogs and love dogs like I do, that if the crumbs fall from the table, the dogs are loving it. And if that's all you got's crumbs, you're going to take the crumbs. That's the way it's going to roll. And of course, we know they want to eliminate ICE. They want open borders. They think there's a lot of voters that'll come into the country that'll be Democrats. That's their hope there. And then last but not least, all their friends that are involved in all of this corruption that we have been literally out on a limb exposing, they want all their friends protected. Remember, if Hillary won, you wouldn't know the name Strzok, Page, Comey, McCabe, Yates. You wouldn't know any of this. None of this would be known. And the fact, you know, just go through everything that we know because it's breathtaking. It's staggering. You can't even really even believe that it's America, that all of this is happening in the United States of America. But here it is. Every day we talk about it. Every day we tell you about it. Every day there's new information about it. Every day the media ignores it. And all they do is they go on whatever the talking point of the day is. Stormy, stormy, stormy. Russia, Russia, Russia. But there are very, very specific things that they want to do if they are elected. And one of them is to get rid of the deep state. And I sent this question, you know, with all the talk. All right, we got Manafort. We got him on not paying his five tax fraud charges. He didn't file his taxes the right way from 2010 or whatever onwards, 2009 onwards. And then, of course, he lied on loan applications. Then we get Michael Cohen this week. We got taxi medallions and the same issue with taxes and the same issue with loan applications. There are lessons we can take away from all of this. Don't lie to the FBI. Or even if you don't lie to the FBI like General Flynn and they illegally surveil you, they're going to basically make you sign a plea agreement because you've run out of money and you have to sell your house. Maybe that's the way the special counsel, you know, thanks people for their service. 30 years of plus of serving the United States of America. You don't get the benefit of the doubt, even though the FBI interviewers and James Comey and Peter Strzok all thought that General Flynn was telling the truth. But we'll make him sign that paper. Otherwise, well, we're going to have to go after your family. And like, what father's not going to dive on the sword and say, I'll take the hit for my kids and my wife and everybody else? So then you're squeezed. Oh, excuse me. They put the screws to you and the hopes you sing or compose, like Judge Ellis said. So then you can prosecute or impeach Trump, which has always been their goal. But back to the point. So we've got everything out of the way about lying to the FBI, everything out of the way, but you got to pay your taxes. I advise you all to pay your taxes. And if you're applying for a loan, don't make up BS on the loan application. That's all a bad idea. And that's what we learned this week. Did we learn anything about Russia? Nope. Anything about collusion in 2016? Nope. Did we learn anything about campaign irregularities of Donald Trump? Nope. Well, Michael Cohen did say that he did it at the direction of Donald Trump, but he had said just the opposite, which I'm sure was part of the plea deal. He got a better deal because that was in the plea deal. Those words probably saved him 5 years in jail. And at that point, who can blame Michael Cohen? We're going to get to Lanny Davis's stuff in just a second here. But these are the five things that are going to impact this election. That they want to impeach the president. They want their crumbs back. They want to keep Obamacare. They want open borders. And they don't want to be exposed. Because we know that there were people in the highest levels of the FBI and DOJ that rigged an investigation into Hillary Clinton. In other words, that they literally were writing an exoneration in May of 2016, written by Strzok and Comey, before they ever interviewed Hillary or 17 other key witnesses. They didn't interview her till July 2nd, 2016, and Comey exonerated her on the 5th of July, 3 days after, July 2nd to July 5th. You know, and I'm asking the Department of Justice this week, you know, with all this back and forth with the Attorney General and the President, does the Attorney General think that Hillary Clinton violated the law? It's either legal or illegal to have a private server with top secret classified information on it, or it's not. It's either a crime and a violation of the law and a felony, as the Espionage Act says, to destroy such information. I don't recommend that if any of you are ever subpoenaed by Congress, by a court, or by anybody, that you delete your emails and that you wipe your hard drives clean and that you bust up your devices where maybe those emails landed with a hammer. I don't advise it. I don't think it's going to end well for you. And that's what I'm asking the Department of Justice. That's what the president's saying. Well, I agree with Jeff Sessions. We don't want to politicize the Department of Justice, but these are fair questions. Are these crimes or not? You know, is the Attorney General concerned about the exoneration before investigation? You know, then we can move on to the FISA issue. You know, does the Attorney General believe FISA court judges were lied to? Now that we know the bulk of information, Grassley Graham Nunes memos told us that the bulk of information presented to the FISA courts was the Steele dossier that Hillary Clinton bought and paid for by funneling money through a law firm so it doesn't show up as a op research expense, then funneled to Fusion GPS, then the hiring of a foreign national. I thought that was bad. We shouldn't have foreign nationals influencing our elections. That then results in a dossier full of Russian lies that even the author of the dossier doesn't stand by when he was pressed under the threat of perjury in Great Britain in an interrogatory. Oh, I don't know if it's true. It's just raw intel. maybe 50-50, I guess, you know, flip a coin. How did that become the basis of a FISA warrant to spy on an American, not just any American, in the middle of a presidential campaign, a Trump campaign associate American? And is the AG concerned that these applications to spy on this, quote, American, that they never revealed, even though they knew that Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for those lies through the funneled money to the op research firm, to the former spy, and the foreign influence in the campaign? Is the attorney general concerned? Nobody involved in these FISA warrants ever even bothered to independently verify, corroborate the salacious contents, details in the dossier used to obtain the FISA warrants. The people, in other words, that signed off on it. The people that when they put their name on it, as Rod Rosenstein did on the last application, the third subsequent application, the third renewal application, four in total, you know, and he said in May, what did he say? That, oh, we have an obligation. If we put our name to it, we've got to know that it's true. Well, that wasn't true. And we know now, and even Lanny Davis is saying that the comments about Michael Cohen aren't true. You know, being in Prague, not true. You know, but they all signed their name to it. They all signed off on it. Steele doesn't even believe his own dossier. And you still have people in the media still pushing this. Well, we don't know that it's debunked. Yeah, we do know it's debunked. You got the guy's passport. It doesn't have Prague stamped on it. Lie. There's no evidence of hookers peeing in a bed in the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow. Wrong, lie, debunked. Why is that bad? Well, good question, Hannity. Why is it bad? It's bad because that dossier, those Russian lies, were designed to literally lie to everybody, all the American people. So when they leaked the contents of the dossier and the rumor, the lies, the propaganda, the misinformation, the distortion, they're meant to influence your vote with Russian lies. So you'll vote a certain way. And it didn't work out for any of them. And all those people, just to bring a full circle, they're now pissed off. All their efforts, all their conspiring, all of these activities never gave them the result that they wanted. In the words of Peter Strzok, we will stop him. They didn't stop him. Now we're in the insurance policy point in this whole thing. Now, I'm going to tell you how it's going to end. You want to know how this whole thing, I think, is going to end and when it's going to end? Because I think I know the answer. But I'm not going to tell you right now. Because I got to take a break. Well, I have to do the spot. Linda's screaming over there. Do the spot. By the way, do you have a will? I redo my will once a year. You got to do it. It's important. Now, maybe 20 years ago or a trust. Look, maybe it wasn't a shocking statement. You didn't have a will. Do you want the government deciding what happens to your kids and your stuff? No. But these days, there's no excuse. Why? Because LegalZoom has made it simple and easy and inexpensive to create your own. More than a million of us now have used LegalZoom for our estate planning needs. Right now, it's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. Now is your turn. Take control of your family, your assets. Get an estate plan. It starts with either a will, a living trust. Maybe you don't know which one's right for you. Let not your heart be troubled, because LegalZoom has a network of independent attorneys. They will advise you on what is best specifically for you and your family. And great news, they're not a law firm. You don't pay those high hourly rates. It's affordable. So make things easier on your family. If God forbid you're gone, check out LegalZoom.com. Their last will, living trust, estate plans now. It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. Special savings. Put my name, Hannity, in the referral box when you check out. Oh, by the way, the president put a hold on talks with North Korea. Little rocket man's back to his old tricks, and he's not moving fast enough. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue.
Fighting the Trump-hating liberal media one day at a time. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
We'll be right back.
I got friends who went, you know, that really sucks what you just did. I said, what? You know, I'll tell you where it's going to end right after this message. I didn't do it on purpose. I have a clock that I have to follow here, or my Cox affiliates go absolutely nuts when I go over. And I love all my Cox stations so much, WSB and OKV and HIO and KRMG. They just, I get it. They have a very strict traffic and weather together schedule that I can't miss. This is where it's going to end. I know the media is recycling all news, old news all the time. And I know that you've heard a lot in the last couple of days. Oh, my gosh, this guy, David Packer of the National Enquirer, and Dylan Howard. Dylan's been on this program before. We like Dylan. We get along with Dylan. And they both got immunity. Did you see it, Hannity? You didn't see the news? And then we find out that the, you know, Trump CFO got immunity. Let me calm everyone's hearts here. It's old news. It was all a part of the lead up to the Michael Cohen plea that took place this week. Now, that doesn't answer the question. Where is this going to end? It's going to end this way, in my opinion. I think the fight is still ongoing, but Mueller knows at this point, especially after the whole release, that the White House counsel, Don McGahn, had spent 30 hours with Mueller. Well, that's ostensibly talking to the president. Now, in 30 hours, let's say they do get an interview with the president, and the president says one or two or three things that conflict with Don McGahn's recollection. Now, this goes back a while that Don McGahn testified, and they're acting like this is new news. It's not. They recycle the old news all the time. Big breaking news. Look at this. Like, it's not big breaking news. It's like they're lying to you because they want to artificially pump this up. So the president would be in a perjury trap. And when Rudy said, well, truth isn't truth, what he's saying there is, if the president's recollection of something doesn't exactly match, say, Don McGahn's recollection of something, then it will be up to the special prosecutor to determine who is telling the truth. Now, let's say Don McGahn's, I'm not making it up, his recollection was wrong and the president's was right. We already know they hate Trump. He can't win. They are the deciders in that moment. And in that sense, lying to the, you know, lying under oath then becomes a play. And that's the perjury trap. How it ends, I'll get into more details, but this is the summary. Robert Mueller, at this point, my guess is he doesn't subpoena the president, but he might. Still out there. He writes a report. It is going to be an impeachment roadmap should the Democrats win in 74 days. You don't think this is the most important midterm in your life? Think again. I'll pick it up here when we get back. Immediately thereafter, there's going to be a Giuliani report, is my guess. And then it's going to be, okay, the American people decide. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. Look, that's the way I think it's going to end. Do I know for sure? No. Am I following it closely? Yes. Am I worried and concerned? Absolutely. I'm not one that ever takes for granted the vote of the people. And if you want to know how I think this ends, I would argue that based on the team that Mueller has put together, the actions that he has taken, the fanaticism of the people on his team, you know, how do you get away with hiring Jeannie Ray, once an attorney for the Clinton Foundation, to be part of your special counsel team? Now, that seems abusively biased to me, but what do I know? Especially considering, oh, this is the guy that beat Hillary Clinton. And the fact that we've gone so afar from where we were, you know, that the mandate has exceeded anything to do with Russia, to the point where Judge Ellis says, okay, considering a filing of the Manafort campaign that Mueller had exceeded his mandate and jurisdiction by even getting into taxes and real estate loans with money that had nothing to do at all with Russia, which preceded any relationship with Donald Trump, which had nothing to do with the 2016 campaign, But then after Judge Ellis views the information, he concludes, yeah, the mandate's that broad and that wide. It's basically like taking, let's say you live on a bay. And let's say you can see the other side of the bay. And that would be like taking a net from one side and putting it all the way down to the bottom and going all the way across. You're going to catch everything. Anything that's there, you're going to catch. That's a fishing expedition. That's what we've seen happen here. You know, remember, Papadopoulos and General Flynn and Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen, there's no Robert Mueller and there's no Trump collusion ridiculousness, then we don't get here. You know, think of all the people that have worked in the White House. You know, remember Hope Hicks worked in the White House. I guarantee, I don't know for sure, I'm just guessing, but I guarantee you that the legal bills for people that worked with Donald Trump, this would include Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. Forget about the personalities, whether you like this one, don't like that. It doesn't matter. I guarantee you the legal bills alone for each one of those individuals probably exceeded whatever they were getting paid to work in the White House. To the point, it's not worth working in the White House anymore for anybody. And this is person after person after person after person. Now, I understand the thinking of you know, Ty Cobbs and John Dowd, and maybe they're going to be proven to be right in the end, because maybe I couldn't understand or wrap my mind around the idea that the White House counsel who represents the president is there to represent the president would ever talk to a special counsel, which makes zero sense to me to this day. Except that maybe that is the secret sauce, along with the 1.4 million documents they sent over in the hopes that this would put things to rest pretty easy. You know, maybe that's what ends it. But it's going to end, I think. Now, I don't know about the subpoena issue. I don't think that the special counsel, my guess is the following. My guess is Robert Mueller wants the subpoena. You don't hire Andrew Weissman with his background and track record of, what, tens of thousands of Americans losing their jobs when he was doing the Enron case, because, and that all ended up, you know, a loser in the U.S. Supreme Court 9-0. Same guy that put Merrill executives in jail for a year, but that was overturned by the Fifth Circuit. I guess people don't really give a rip if it's not them. But those people went to jail for a year. I'm sure it was hell. I'm sure it sucked for the years leading up to this, and the defense and the decision of the deal, whichever it was at the time. I'd have to bring Sidney Powell back on, who wrote all about this. But why do you put somebody like that on your team if you're trying to be fair and balanced? How does Bruce Orr have a job? Random thought at this point. He's been demoted twice. We know 70 contacts that he's had with Christopher Steele before and after the election. We know he's anti-Trump. We know his wife worked for Fusion GPS. I mean, can you get any more? Can this get any more insane? Now we've gone from Russia collusion. Then we go to taxi cabs. Huh? And tax filings from years before Donald Trump ever really thought he'd run for president. And then what do we got? We got tax fraud, lying on bank loan applications. Good grief. It is just unbelievable. Now, my guess is that the special counsel probably wants to subpoena the president, which could lead to another year, 18-month fight. Although others say it could be quite much faster. They probably could even expedite that. But even in an expedited fashion, it's going to be a constitutional war if it happens. And I don't think Trump's attorneys ever give in, nor do I think. I think at this point, I don't think Trump will talk to them. Why should he? It's a perjury trap. Who wants to be in a perjury trap? Don McGahn talks to the special counsel for 30 hours. Okay. He gives his best recollection. I'm not questioning his integrity. I'm just questioning why they would ever give up that privilege that they have. He didn't have to testify. They didn't have to hand over a single document. But they're cooperating. They're trying to get this behind us. Most exculpatory evidence comes from James Comey himself. In this case, when he puts in his notes that Donald Trump said to him, oh, I didn't have anything to do with any collusion, but if anybody around me did, Well, we need to get to the bottom of that. Anyway, so he can't testify. So there could be a fight over that, but probably there's got to be some sense of desire. I've got to believe that even though people have views that are so alien to my own, that there's got to be some thought here on the impact of the country, what the hell is going on here, and how divided the country is. I'm just guessing. You know, at the end of all of this, it's not going to be whoever works for Mueller's name on this history. It's going to be Mueller's name on this. So if he wants that subpoena fight, we'll see what happens. It'll go to the Supreme Court at some point. Why Democrats are trying to use it. Well, we can't confirm Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah, you can. Well, Brett Kavanaugh can't be. Yes, he can be objective. Yes, he can. But I think that Mueller's going to write a report. And I think that it is going to be for the Democrats their roadmap. And I think the roadmap is one of how to impeach Donald Trump, how to overturn the election. This is the insurance policy on steroids unfolding before our eyes. And I don't think it's going to have anything. They'll mention Russia a lot in the report. And they're going to talk about the equivalence of the Russian, formerly a KGB of Russia, the Russian intel people that they indicted that'll never, ever come to America and be put on trial. These are indictments that are meaningless. They're put in place just to say Russia, I believe. And I believe just like the Russian bot companies, they're put in place just to say Russia, Russia, Russia. I don't think Mueller and his team ever thought these bot companies, and I believe they're real, but there's no doubt Russia is a hostile regime. There's no doubt Putin is a corrupt actor on the world stage and an antagonist of the United States. He's not our friend. Doesn't mean we have to be at war with him. Doesn't mean we can't have understandings with him. You want to defeat Putin and Russia, it's simple. Produce more energy and find a way to get it to our allies in Western Europe. Checkmate, game over, finished. Putin's done. Russia's done. But then you have our allies in NATO like Angela Merkel, you know, they're putting the lifeblood of their economy, some 75% of it, in the hands of a hostile regime and a hostile actor in Putin. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. We've got to figure out a way to get oil and natural gas, which the president has now opened up, over to our allies in Western Europe. It's great for their security and ultimately our security. And it'll create millions of high-paying jobs for the forgotten men and women of this country. It's just basic, simple common sense. Anyway, and then I would guess that after Mueller writes his report, and I believe, again, it is a roadmap to impeachment, then Giuliani and Jay Sekulow and that team would end up writing their report. Again, I'm just speculating and just watching this all unfold. It also fits the model that was set forth in the whole Clinton impeachment. And then we'll get to a point where, you know, then if the Democrats are in power, if this happens in 74 days, this is what is at stake. And I've been saying for now a long time, and Hannity, you repeat yourself. Yeah, I do. Because I never know there's different people listening at different times. This election is about the five things I told you. It's about they want to impeach the president, but they don't want to tell you what they really want to do. And they're asking people like Maxine Waters and others, shush, just don't say it. Because we don't want, because we're going to act like we have to do it. But we're going to do it. They've already decided. And similarly, they'll ignore all these other issues. This is issued item two, impeach the president, eliminate all of, as it relates to the abuse of power that exonerated Hillary Clinton from what is the most egregious case of obstruction I've ever seen in my life. A slam dunk if any of you ever did it. And then of the Espionage Act. And then it gets into the FISA warrants, it all disappears. In other words, those people that abuse those top positions that we have exposed, Adam Schiff shuts it down. And then it'll be followed up, by the way, with investigation after investigation into Trump, the Trump campaign, the Trump administration, nonstop investigation. In other words, to paralyze what is now proven to be a successful agenda that is putting Americans back to work, that is making the country safer, that is showing that eliminating burdensome regulation, lower taxes works. So they want to impeach the president. They want to end the investigations. They want their crumbs back. They're only crumbs, but damn, they want them back quick. They want every penny back and maybe even more. They want Obamacare. That's it. And they want open borders. Five things. And I've said for the longest time, there are five forces working against this president. And number one is something that probably a lot of you had not heard about a couple of years ago. It's the deep state. Just like many of you a couple of years ago never heard of Bleach Pit. Who ever heard of Bleach Pit until Hillary Clinton? Bleach Pit. Right? If I'm the owner of Bleach Pit, I'm the happiest guy in the world. Wow, Bleach Pit is now famous. And Hannity gives us a free plug every time he mentions it. You know, they're not paying for ads here. And then, of course, you know, you got to see this for what it is. You don't think this midterm matters? Well, if you voted for Trump and you're happy with the progress, that's what's in play. If you're ready for the country to be torn apart, and it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out brawl, let me, politically speaking, it's going to be pretty much a declaration of a political war. Again, political. It's going to be, you're going to have the intensity of the left that wants to bring this man and take away the power that was given to him, a duly elected president. They're going to want to do that. Now, this interesting little sidebars, by the way, the president put talks with North Korea, a little rocket man, on hold today because of lack of progress, told Pompeo to cancel his thing. Just, you know, as the Democratic media is 222 times on cable TV alone in a single day, impeachment assault on the president is backfiring. We got some poll numbers in key midterm races suddenly now moving in the GOP's direction. Maybe this won't be a bad thing. Washington Examiner points out Scott Walker's been trailing in his bid for a third time. I think he's a great governor. He won a recall election 2010, 2014. This guy's been through more elections than anybody. The Marquette poll came out this week showing Walker tied. And Senator Tammy Baldwin, one of 10 Democrats running for re-election in Wisconsin, but she hadn't been considered especially vulnerable. She led by 17 points. She took 49% of the vote and 47 for her Republican opponent. Well, how did that happen? Then we got in New Jersey, even. Robert Menendez is leading by only 6 in New Jersey. I mean, generic ballot polling is now tightening also. Here's another anecdotal piece of evidence. Politico points out that the RNC announced this week they notched up a record-breaking cash haul for July. The impact of Cohn's guilty plea on RNC fundraising will be infinitesimal, according to some GOP donors telling Politico. And the numbers bear him out. $14.2 million in July, the best take for a month in a midterm cycle and almost twice the amount of the Democratic Party and what they took in. I hope that some hope that people are getting that what I've been telling you forever, these five items is what the election's about. Believe me, you're going to hear a lot of this after Labor Day. I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions. All right, Sarah and Greg, when we come back, we had a lot to get to today. 800-941-SEAN. Also, Angel Families, people that lost loved ones to illegal immigrants, are going to tell their... these stories break your heart, but they're trying to warn us that it can happen to anybody.
What evidence does Michael Cohen have that the president knew in advance about that controversial Trump Tower meeting that his son-in-law, the campaign chairman at the time, Paul Manafort, had with these Russians leading up to the 2016 election?
So again, at this juncture, I can only say that he was present during a discussion with Junior and Dad. And beyond that, his testimony to the Senate Intelligence and House Intelligence Committees was accurate.
So can you say now whether, in fact, Michael Cohen has information that President Trump was aware either before the Trump Tower meeting that Don Jr. was part of with a Russian attorney claiming to be part from the Kremlin with dirt on Hillary Clinton, either that Michael Cohen has information that the president knew about it in advance or knew about it immediately after?
Senator Burr and Senator Warner read the answer to the question about his testimony, which is that he said he was not aware ahead of time and did not hear anything to the contrary. And that was the testimony before the Senate as well as the House Intelligence Committees. And he said that that testimony was accurate.
So Michael Cohen does not have information that President Trump knew about the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians beforehand or even
does not.
The president's entitled to attorney general he has faith in, somebody that's qualified for the job. And I think there will come a time, sooner rather than later, where it will be time to have a new face and a fresh voice at the Department of Justice. Clearly, Attorney General Sessions doesn't have the confidence of the president. And all I can say is that I have a lot of respect for the attorney general, but that's an important office in the country. And there, after the election, I think there will be some serious discussions about a new attorney general.
All right, that was Lindsey Graham yesterday, and that made big news along with Charles Grassley. Bob Corker, who's leaving Congress, can't stand the president, told Politico he feels moves are being made to bring about Sessions' ouster from the Department of Justice. It's apparent to me the president wants to do something to Attorney General Sessions, but it's also apparent that in the interim, that Sessions owns him. Now, I'm not sure, why does it have to be so personal in as much as, could it really just be as the Attorney General clearly doesn't like the president at this point when he said yesterday that the actions of the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations? Nobody's asking for political considerations. All people are asking for is, did Hillary commit crimes? And if she did, why isn't she indicted? Were FISA court judges lied to? Was false, phony Russian propaganda bought and paid for by Hillary through funneled money through a law firm to hide the expense and then funneled to Fusion GPS to a guy named Christopher Steele, a foreign agent? And did he present and propagate Russian lies? And were the American people lied to so they'd vote a certain way before the 2016 election? And was the bulk of that information the basis for not one, but four FISA court warrants against Carter Page, a Trump campaign associate? That's what it is. Does he believe Hillary violated the law, top secret information on her server that she obstructed when she deleted and hard drives erased and devices destroyed? You know, are they concerned about the exoneration written before the investigation? Does Sessions think the FISA court judges were lied to? Was there a fraud on the court? Was it wrong not to reveal Hillary paid for that information? Was it wrong not to say that even the guy himself that put it together, Christopher Steele, didn't even stand by his own dossier? Is he concerned about the wave of firings and resignations and demotions at his Department of Justice because of rampant bias, abuse of power, corruption, and lying? Why is Bruce Orr still employed there? Is he concerned that nobody verified the information in the phony dossier? Anyway, here to join us on all this, Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, Fox News contributor, and Greg Jarrett. His book, yep, still number one, New York Times bestseller, The Russian Hoax. Thank you both for being with us. Sarah, you wrote extensively on this Session-Trump feud yesterday.
Yes, and it's obvious now that there's a point being reached, an apex in Congress, so to speak, both in the Senate and the House, where, look, this is doing more damage to the country than good. The relationship, you know, between Jeff Sessions and the president is very contentious. Obviously, they don't trust each other. The president needs somebody there, and it's his right to have somebody there that he can count on, somebody there that he actually has a working relationship with. We know that relationship for now has been really damaged. And the point here, Sean, is not about whether or not what the president wants to interfere or doesn't want to interfere. I think what people in the Senate and the House are seeing, those that I've spoken with, are saying, look, this is detrimental to the country. The best thing that could happen is for Jeff Sessions to either resign or to be removed. And, you know, and they give the president all the authority to do so, the few that are supporting him in this. I think the bigger question is here is what is Sessions thinking? What does he want to do? I mean,
well, it's obvious. He expressed himself yesterday. He doesn't think much of the president. He, you know, I called over there, and to be fair to the Department of Justice, they actually took my call. They answered my questions, and the answer was what I always get from them, which I understand is what they have to say and do, but they can't comment on any ongoing investigation or potential investigation. So, in other words, they won't, you know, they won't even confirm that anything's being looked into. And the public watches all of the double standard, and I think most people are pissed.
They are. They're angry. People are angry. Every person that writes to me, that writes to you, I'm sure, is frustrated and angry. And this is the regular, this is America. These are the people that aren't even involved in the Washington bubble who are so frustrated at watching the Mueller team, special counsel, go after everybody around Donald Trump, offering immunity deals to everyone. And then they look at what happened with Hillary Clinton, and they look at what's been happening with the FISA abuse scandal, and even with Rod Rosenstein and his involvement in ethical conflicts that have arisen from him actually asking the president to fire James Comey and pointing out very clearly in his letter to President Trump that the reasons why Comey should have been fired. And now somehow he's in charge of overseeing this special counsel, which is including obstruction chart, you know, wants to move into obstruction against the president. So there is a lot of frustration here. I think the biggest question here is, what is Jeff Sessions going to do? Is he going to force himself to sit there? I mean, who the heck wants to work for someone who absolutely does not trust them? And he doesn't trust the president. So this, I think, really the ball is in Attorney General Jeff Sessions' court. I know there's a lot of people that like him, even people that want him to leave that like him, that are saying, look, you know, Attorney General Sessions, you've been there for 2 years. You've done your job, or you haven't done your job, and it's time for you to move on. So I think that, you know, according to them, the right thing for him to do would be to just submit his letter of resignation and, you know, tell the president, you know.
I don't think that's going to happen. And let me just bring Greg into this discussion, because I think in a weird way, although it's not true, in a weird way, Corker is right, because in a sense, the president is savvy enough, the people around him savvy enough to know that if the president fired Jeff Sessions, we know how it would portray and play out in the media and play out among Democrats, and that is a Saturday night massacre. I mean, they mentioned 222 times in a day impeachment. This is all the media and Democrats really care about at this point.
Well, if Jeff Sessions had an ounce of integrity and conscience, he would resign. Should have done it a long time ago. Every day Jeff Sessions is the attorney general, he is doing more and more damage to the Department of Justice, to the FBI, to Congress, which is seeking lawful documents that the DOJ refuses to turn over. Sessions is doing enormous damage to the country. When you've lost the confidence of the president, it is time to resign. Any decent person.
I happen to be
that.
In one of the, I am accurately described as Sarah. I'm a guy that always liked Jeff Sessions. I still think personally he's a good guy. I just don't think he's up for this job.
Well, there's a difference between being nice and likable, which he certainly is, and competent, which he has proven he is not. He should never have disqualified himself from the Russia case. He cited the wrong regulation when he did it. He was duped, which tells me he's gullible and naive. You know, it's easy to be one of 100 U.S. senators that don't, frankly, do very much. Very hard to be the Attorney General of the United States running the Department of Justice and, of course, underneath that, the FBI. But for his recusal, there would never have been a special counsel. Mueller would not have been allowed to assemble a team of partisans determined to damage Trump, undo the election, and harm the nation at large. And if you want to point the finger of blame at anybody, Jeff Sessions is the guy.
All right. Let me move.
Sean,
go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and Sean, right on Greg's point and what you said earlier, you know, about the Dems and those never Trumpers who are going to come after President Trump if he chooses to replace Attorney General Jeff Sessions. That, look, they can't even argue that this is a massacre because Jeff Sessions has already recused himself from everything Russia. So their argument is false on its face. I mean, if he was in charge of the whole Russia investigation and he was working against the president, okay, I could see that. But they can't make this argument that this is a massacre when Sessions really has already recused himself from everything Russia and, it appears, everything else. So this is a problem about having the right people in place in your administration to get the job done. And a president needs to be able to communicate with his attorney general. That is an absolute fact. Look, Eric Holder was, with President Obama for years. He was very close to President Obama. They were allies. They stuck to each other like glue. They were always on the same page. This president has the right, as every other president, to have somebody that he can work with. And it's impossible for the president to work with somebody when there's a broken trust.
Well, I think that's all legitimate. And frankly, I don't think Sessions likes the president. That's fine. You know, people at times don't get along with each other. I want to get into another issue that has come up and been reported. It's actually four separate issues that you have. This guy, David Pecker, Dylan Howard, they both work for AMI, and that would be the National Enquirer, and they're both very well known. Then we have the report that the Trump Organization CFO also has been given immunity, that all three of them have been given immunity, and that the Manhattan District Attorney is now looking into issues involving the Trump Organization's charity, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the first point is that we've known for a long time that the Trump Organization CFO testified already. And we know that this goes back a number of months as it relates to the National Enquirer. And what we're now experiencing, Greg Jarrett, is something that I keep calling recycled news, as if it's big breaking, earth-shattering news every day. This was factored into the Southern District of New York's plea deal with Michael Cohen. There's nothing new here at all that they are reporting.
This is what's called piling on, and it often happens, especially in politics. When they think somebody's down, they pile on top. Let's get to the heart of it, the Michael Cohen case. It's not a crime for the president to contribute to his own campaign. Trump can spend an unlimited amount of money on his own campaign. And if Cohen made a payment for him with the intent of it being reimbursed, and it was, that's an advance. You know, at worst, it might be a civil violation, the equivalent of jaywalking and a $500 penalty, which is nothing compared to what Obama paid, $375,000, for $2 million in illegal donations. Beyond that, it's probably not even qualifying as a campaign expense. It had another purpose to it. He'd done it before, long before he was a candidate, for personal and commercial reasons. This was explained quite nicely by the former chairman of the Federal Election Commission, Bradley Smith, who said, you know, these payments are not illegal under campaign laws. But try to tell that to prosecutors in the Southern District.
It's like saying he's an unindicted co-conspirator.
Well,
but they didn't accuse Michael Cohen of a conspiracy.
That's right. There has to be an underlying crime in any conspiracy, and there's
right.
none.
Stay right
stated.
There. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come back more with Sarah and Greg at the bottom of this half hour. John Sale, he used to work for the Southern District of New York. We'll get his take on all of the week's unfoldings, if you will. All right, went a little long in the last segment. We continue with Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett with us. Sarah, we'll give you the final remarks here. I say this airplane lands with a Mueller impeachment roadmap, if you will, should the Democrats win in 74 days?
Yeah, unfortunately, Sean, I would tend to agree with you on that. But look, we can't predict the future. It looks like the Republicans have a really good chance of keeping the House, even if it's by a slim margin. And I think in the end, the American people will have their final say. They're exhausted of this Mueller investigation. They want the country to move forward. It appears that even those never-Trumpers that were in Congress are now on the president's side, some of them at least, and they're fighting to make this country better. And I think eventually in the end, hopefully that plane lands and it's a different ending than what you just said. Hopefully the plane lands and America can once again get back to business.
All right. Sarah, Greg, thank you both. 800-941-SEAN. Formerly a prosecutor in the Southern District of New York and Watergate assistant prosecutor. We'll talk about all these matters and more straight ahead.
So can you say now whether, in fact, Michael Cohen has information that President Trump was aware either before the Trump Tower meeting that Don Jr. was part of with the Russian attorney claiming to be part from the Kremlin with dirt on Hillary Clinton, either that Michael Cohen has information that the president knew about it in advance or knew about it immediately after?
Senator Burr and Senator Warner read the answer to the question about his testimony, which is that he said he was not aware ahead of time and did not hear anything to the contrary, and that was the testimony before the Senate as well as the House Intelligence Committees, and he said that that testimony was accurate.
So Michael Cohen does not have information that President Trump knew about the Trump Tower meeting with the Russians beforehand or even
No, does not.
Prosecutors have said Michael Cohen broke the law, and Michael Cohen says the president told me to do it. You said last night as well believe that every president breaks the law during an election. I mean, really? Does that make it okay?
That. I said,
your quote is that every candidate violates election laws when they run for president.
Let me tell you what I said. Candidates violate election laws all the time. Go back and you can get back to any campaign
you'll
find violations. It doesn't, but let me be very clear.
And isn't that moving the goalposts?
You're not letting me make my point. My point is the president doesn't break the law if, as a candidate, he contributes to his own campaign. So if he gave $1 million to two women as hush money, there would be no crime.
Oh, forget about the law and what it actually says and what it actually means and everything else that we keep hearing. You know, this issue is not a small issue as it relates to what was said, as it relates to, you know, Lanny Davis professing that, in fact, that Michael Cohen knowingly knew that Trump knowingly colluded with Russia and had knowledge of this meeting ahead of time and then said it, and CNN ran with it. And the Washington Post ran with it. And then Lanny says, yeah, never mind. it's not a small detail in any respect. We're pleased to have back John Sale is with us. And his background, of course, he worked at the very prestigious, important Southern District of New York, where some of the best prosecutors in the country and throughout history have actually spent time and worked there. How many years you been there? Were you there, rather?
Oh, I worked in the Southern District 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and you knew, I forgot exactly what you said. You knew Rudy had worked there. You knew my friend Andy McCarthy had worked there, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't work there when Rudy was the U.S. attorney. He and I were prosecutors together. We prosecuted a lot of cases together, as a matter of fact.
You know, a lot of people say, well, why is Rudy talking so much? Why is Rudy defending people so much? And I was a little surprised once Trey Gowdy actually said, well, if you're innocent, darn it, why don't you act like you're innocent? And I'm thinking, if I'm innocent, I'm going to want to tell the world I'm innocent. That's how I would act. That's my natural reaction.
Well, there's a difference. There's two courts. There's the courtroom, and then there's the court of public opinion. And when you represent the president of the United States, you're naive if you don't realize you're in the court of public opinion.
Well, I mean, a big part of this now is going to be, and I really firmly believe that, At the end of the day, how this is going to end up, and I don't think there's going to be anything about Russia and Russia collusion at all, because I don't think it ever happened. And I think had it happened, had there been evidence of such, we would have heard about it a long time ago now. So you can see that this case now has branched off into all these different arenas. And it was very interesting when Judge Ellis demanded, after a filing by Paul Manafort's attorneys in this most recent case that we got the judgment on, you know, 8 counts guilty, 10 on a hung jury. But when Ellis said he wanted to see what it was in the mandate to Robert Mueller and whether or not a 10-year-old tax charge and a bank fraud case of Manafort fit under the umbrella of what it is the mandate was for the special counsel. And then that's when he made his now infamous comment about putting the screws to Manafort. They don't really give a rip about his taxes, so he will sing or compose so they can prosecute or impeach Trump. It seems that we're now often, let's see, taxi medallions, lying on bank applications, paying, not filing your taxes and paying the proper amount of tax, which, by the way, those are all lessons people should learn in life, because you shouldn't do those things. I'm not saying you should, but it seems to be really afar from what Russia collusion started out to be.
Well, the Manafort case had absolutely nothing to do with Russia, had nothing to do with the president. But you and I can talk about this with all our sincerity, while Mr. Manafort is going to be facing possibly as much as 10 years in prison for that. And so Judge Ellis was correct in that comment he made, although it may have been a little bit injudicious, it certainly was accurate. You know, this is a man's life, a 69-year-old man's life. And it's clear, you know, the only reason he was prosecuted by the special counsel was because of what they're doing. He could have been prosecuted by another U.S. attorney's office, and it would have been judged on its merits.
Right. In other words, the criminal system, we don't need a special counsel to go after people that didn't pay their taxes in 2010 or whatever.
No, those are prosecuted, if it's the case is appropriate, by right. U.S. attorney's offices every day.
But it seemed like they were dragging this out of mothballs, that a decision had already been made back in 2014 not to prosecute.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason is obvious. I'm not joining, frankly, in the characterizations of the Mueller's offices being on a witch hunt or the Southern District, but the facts are what they are. I mean, the Manafort case had absolutely nothing to do with Russia, so-called collusion, or the president. Yet Manafort is sitting in a jail cell.
Well, and then also there are people that commit crimes, which raises a whole other question that I want to ask you about. But first, I want to ask you about Alan Dershowitz's comments. A president can look at the payment or the issue of the payment. Now, number one, I think it's atrocious that Lanny Davis, I mean, now he's backtracking on what he had said, but it became a huge, massive report at the time that, you know, he's out there telling people that Michael Cohen has information that, in fact, he knew that Trump knew and Trump was aware of and actually approved of the meeting at Trump Tower, et cetera, with this Russian who met with Fusion GPS leaders before and after the meeting, who turns out also to be a client of Fusion GPS. I mean, it becomes one big cluttered mess in my mind, but it turns out Michael Cohen didn't have such information, and yet CNN runs with it, the news media runs with it, and then he says, oh, never mind. That's a big deal in terms of the press for the president.
Well, Michael Cohen, what's very significant about him is he pled guilty, but he does not have a plea agreement. I'm sorry. He does not have a cooperation agreement, which means to me—
It's a non-cooperative plea, in other words, is what I think that's the proper legalistic—
Correct. But either way you phrase it, to me it means that the prosecutors in the Southern District were not sufficiently confident that what he's telling was the truth, or to put it this way, they don't think he's a viable witness. They think that he's told so many stories, so many different ways, every which way but Sunday, that they would not use him if they bring any kind of a case.
Then why were the words inserted in that plea agreement, the ones that got all the attention at the direction of— And you're right, Michael had said something very differently. I almost took it, and this is just total conjecture on my part, interpretation on my part. I took it to mean they wanted that in there because that kind of sticks it to the president. Maybe that helped Michael get a better deal. Is that absolutely off the wall?
No, it's not off the wall. I mean, clearly.
You can say it, by the way, even though it's my show, you can say, Hannity, you're off the wall. A lot of people say it every day, so it's fine.
Oh, no, I'm going to say it. I'm looking forward to saying it, but I can't say it about what you just were saying.
It wouldn't be in other words, well, you know, look, you know, we think that happened and we're believing that happened. And well, here's the deal if you say it happened and here's the deal if you don't say it happened. I mean, would that type of thing be, that's possible?
I don't want to say what's possible. What I want to say is that in a case that frankly the whole world is watching, I don't think he would have said that as a surprise to everybody. So although I have no inside information, I presume that the United States Attorney's Office knew that was going to be said. And but it
could have been part of a proffer deal. What are you going to tell us? If you tell us that, we might offer this sort of thing.
But you usually don't then say that in the plea. That's kept private. It was said for a purpose. That remains to be seen. You know, what prosecutors do, all of them, is they want to go so-called up the ladder. And what they seem to be doing now is they're trying to make a case going up the ladder, and up the ladder means only one place.
You see, I believe that Robert Mueller, the way this ends is that Robert Mueller writes his report, because you can't indict a sitting president. If I had to guess, I was leaning that he would subpoena the president to testify, but I don't think after knowing that 30 hours of testimony came from the White House counsel, I can't imagine that Robert Mueller wants that fight. It will become an impeachment roadmap should the Democrats win in 74 days. Is that far-fetched?
Well, Rob, the press has been calling the president an unindicted co-conspirator based upon what Michael Cohen said. That's totally preposterous. First of all, what Michael Cohen said is only his accusation at the worst-case scenario, and he's not charged with a conspiracy. So where's the conspiracy that the president could be allegedly an unindicted co-conspirator?
That is so well said. This is why I was so impressed with you when you were on with us the last time. And, yeah, I think you're 100% right, and you can't indict a sitting president. But more importantly, every smart lawyer I have talked to believes that charges 7 and 8 in the Cohen plea are not even a violation of law.
I don't know. They seem to be throw-ins for public consumption. But, you know, I have to say the brilliant words we have to see.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, can you repeat the part about how impressed you were with me? I'm only teasing.
Can you repeat the part that you look forward to beating the crap out of me like everyone else does? I mean, it's fine. I can handle it, obviously. I have a big dartboard on my back.
No, I do, but you still haven't said anything to enable me to do that. And everything you've said has been perfectly sensible.
I'm actually fascinated by all of it, but it's sad in another sense, because if, in fact, I'm right and that Mueller's going to write an impeachment roadmap, and in the lead-up to the election, probably released sometime in October, and then Rudy's going to release his rebuttal to it probably not long thereafter. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the country's going to have a clue what to think, except there's not going to be anything related to Russia in it. And I think
I wrote an article in The Hill in which I argued that the president should not talk to the Mueller.
I want to ask you about that when we get back. And we'll pick up right there. Stay right there. John Sale is with us. He worked in the Southern District of New York as a prosecutor at the time Rudy was there. All right, as we continue with John Sale is with us, formerly of the Southern District of New York, former prosecutor, great insights. You know, we were talking about what Mueller might do and what Rudy might do in response to it. I do think this is about impeachment, but I want to ask you about this strategy that prosecutors often use. I call it the Sammy the Bull strategy. Here's a guy who commits 19 murders, but if he's willing to testify against the big guy, as you were talking about earlier, John Gotti, well, we're going to not only give you a get-out-of-jail-free card, we'll give you a new house in Arizona and put you in the witness protection program. And we saw this with Rick Gates in the Manafort case. He got pretty much a get-out-of-jail-free card. Why do I feel that's bribery? Why do I feel that's like paying a witness to say something, that there's something of great value they're getting on the other side of it? When, in fact, if you listen to the jurors, the numbers alone were enough to get Manafort in most of their eyes.
Sean, there was a case about 10 years ago in which a federal judge held that that is bribery. Now, that was reversed by the appellate court, but that you're giving a thing of value in exchange for something, meaning the testimony. What's the thing of value?
By the way, I think about your freedom.
Jail card.
Yeah, freedom.
And conceptually, it is bribery, but there is a statute which would apply to everybody else other than the government, meaning other than the U.S. attorneys.
I just don't like the tactic to me. To me, that needs to be reformed. Am I in a minority view here? I'm a very conservative individual. I believe in law and order. I pay my taxes.
You're in a major minority, and that tactic has been upheld by the Supreme Court.
Andy McCarthy thinks I'm nuts. Day. Do you think I'm nuts too?
You're not nuts, but that tactic is going to stay, and it can be abused. What we really need is to rely on good judgment and fairness of prosecutors. Most of the time, we see that.
You mean prosecutorial discretion.
Most of the time it is sound, but, you know, most of the time it's not good enough. It ought to be all the time, but it's human imperfection and the human temptation to get a big fish.
Isn't that part of it, though? Isn't it that, you know what, there it's too much, it becomes dehumanizing to some, in fact, I would even argue, that they don't realize on the other side of this, you know, these witnesses for years or longer, their families, their friends, their lives, the stress, the money, and, you know, Lieutenant General Flynn has to sell his home. All right, John Sale, thank you so much, and we hope you'll come back again.
Hey, my pleasure, Sean.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You know, how many more people are going to be killed by illegal immigrants before we realize that we can't have sanctuary cities and that we've got to obey the rule of law and that the wall will help? Straight ahead.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
They have been so willing to move the goalpost every single time with this president, no matter what he says, no matter what he does, right? The fact that he was even sworn in as president after the Access Hollywood tape let me know for a fact that the Republican Party is actually not working on behalf of the American people. They are working on behalf of Donald Trump, and he's been able to bully them into their silence, and I don't think that today changes much, unfortunately. I'm sure we'll hear what he has to say about this at his rally, but Fox News is talking about, you know, a girl in Iowa and not this.
A person has been charged with it. This person is an undocumented immigrant. Mike Pence and the president have suggested the immigration laws need to be stronger so that people like this man who was accused of this murder were not in the country. Your reaction?
You know, I'm so sorry for the family here, and I know this is hard, not only for the family, but for the people in her community, the people throughout Iowa. But one of the things we have to remember is we need an immigration system that is effective, that focuses on where real problems are. Last month, I went down to the border, and I saw where children had been taken away from their mothers. I met with those mothers who had been lied to, who didn't know where their children were, who hadn't had a chance to talk to their children, and there was no plan for how they would be reunified with their children.
I was disgusted by Senator Elizabeth Warren hearing her speak today, and what I want to say to her is stop lying to the American people, because you don't care what is happening to the victims of illegal alien crime, because if you did, you would be standing up for us and you would be doing something about it.
That last comment was Maryam Mendoza, a longtime friend of this program, and she was taking on Elizabeth Warren's stupidity. And oh, the MSNBC contributor, this girl in Iowa that Fox News is talking about. Maryam Mendoza is the mother of Police Sergeant Brandon Mendoza. He was killed on May the 12th, 2014, in a head-on collision, and the driver was an illegal immigrant. Let's see, high on methamphetamine, and his blood alcohol content was over three times the legal limit. Also joining us, another friend of the program. He too lost his son. Steve Ronnebeck is with us. His son Grant was 21 years old, working overnight in a convenience store, murdered while working there in Mesa, Arizona. The killer was an illegal immigrant who was released by ICE in 2013 after a conviction for burglary and kidnapping involving drug dealing. And if I remember correctly, in that case, he'd actually held a woman hostage for almost a week. Also joining us, Agnes Gibney. Her son, Ronald Da Silva, was murdered in 2002 in California's Inland Empire by illegal immigrant gang member Luis Gonzalez, according to reports in that case. And it's just unbelievable. Welcome, all of you, to the program. My thoughts and prayers are with all of you always. Maryanne, I admire your courage, your willingness to take on the stupidity of some that really just fight basic, simple common sense so we can protect people like your son, who you were so proud of.
Yes, and I am amazed daily that these politicians continue to protect illegal alien criminals in our country. And like I said on Tucker, you know, we have pleaded with them to please look at what's happening to American citizens. And it's not just the American citizens who are killed, Sean. I mean, there's a rape epidemic going on in North Carolina. There's huge amounts of identity theft happening right now with our military men and women because of the leak with military information a year or so ago, and they're being affected immensely. And the crimes just go on and on and on and on. It's just such a deep-seated, you know, awful thing that's happening to us. And to think that they would even refer to her as an Iowa girl as instead of standing up for their fellow American infuriates me.
Yeah, and the Iowa girl has a name. And her name is Molly Tibbetts. Your son has a name. Steve Ronnebeck's son, Grant, has a name. These are real people, real lives, real families. And, you know, I've gotten to know many of you over time. Steve, you're one of them, like Marianne. I don't even know how you do these interviews, but you're doing it to warn other parents that this can happen to them, too.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I just want to say, and I know I can speak for Agnes and Marianne, that from my family to the Tibbetts family, that our prayers and condolences, and we are just so sorry that they've had to join a club that nobody should be part of, especially at the hands of an illegal immigrant. You know, that just hit me like a sledgehammer in the chest the other day when they found her, and then a few hours later they said it was the illegal alien that killed her. It just goes to show you that our liberal side of our government is not ready to put the American people first. They're not ready to fight for American citizens. They have their own agenda. Elizabeth Warren is a disgrace, and what she said about the Iowa girl, you're right, Sean. She has a name, and her name was Molly Tibbetts.
Yeah, that was the MSNBC contributor that said that part. But I got to tell you something. I found it cruel. There's a certain, you know, I have this uncanny ability, Steve, that I wish I almost didn't have. And it's called empathy. And I'm listening to you and Marianne, and Agnes is with us today. And I have met so many other families. And I can look into your eyes, hear your stories, and see the pain that maybe it lessens a little bit here and there, but it never leaves. You're never going to get over the fact that your 21-year-old son, who's working an overnight shift, he's producing, he's building his life, is no longer with you every day. I don't know. I don't know if I'd survive. I don't know how you people do it. I don't know how you make it.
And we just keep fighting, and we keep fighting to protect other American families so that this doesn't happen to them. And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah. And Agnes, you've been through this pain, too. Tell us about your son, Ronald.
Yes, I have, and I live with it every day. And first, I wanted to say to Molly's family, my heart goes out to them. I was extremely touched and moved. It opened a huge scab on my heart. This country should be filled with empathy, respect, and concern for American citizens and for the victims that have lost their lives in this insanity. And I agree with Ron and Marianne. Senator Elizabeth Warren is a disgrace and embarrassment to this country. What kind of mother, what kind of woman is she to reduce Molly Tibbetts to Iowa girl? That person, that girl had a family. She ought to be ashamed of herself, and our country needs to start focusing on American citizens. As a legal immigrant myself, I find it incredibly offensive that this country is not protecting citizens and legal immigrants, but giving every protection to illegal aliens. And another thing that really, really bothers me is how they reduce them to undocumented immigrants. They are not immigrants. They are illegal aliens.
I don't know when you came into the country. I keep saying, and I'll repeat myself, Agnes, in case you've never heard me say it, I don't care that people come to the country. My grandparents, all four of them, came at the turn of the last century, poor, from Ireland. I mean, nothing in their pocket, you know, 10 bucks. I only want one thing. Just do it like you did it. You did it legally, so we can check your background, and we don't have drug trafficking, human trafficking across our borders. I've been down there 12 times. I've seen it with my own eyes. And just to protect the American people, and that's all we're asking. I don't think that it's common sense to me.
No, and there is a process. It took my family 13 years. They applied three times. The first two, it lapsed. They had to start the process all over. This is why it's so important to vet people. They have to go through full background investigation, full medical, that you pay. You have to pay out of pocket for all these things. That's a small price to pay to come to such a great country. But people like me that legally immigrated into the country, we assimilated, we respect and honor. This is my home. This is my country. I didn't have a choice where I was born, but this is my country of heart, and I will fight to the end for my country. And that's why vetting is so important. Like this guy that killed Molly, Christian, he said, oh, he blacked out. Well, obviously, if he has an anger issue, he blacks out. We don't need people like that in our country. Get them out.
Listen,
how many more victims?
There's so many countries, and I'll throw this to Marianne, and you're right, but there's that they have merit-based immigration. But there's also, you know, we could have people that come for a season. They can work. If you know, look at our unemployment rate. It's so low now, we actually have more jobs available than we have people on unemployment. I mean, okay, then maybe that's an opportunity to bring people in and give them an opportunity. But as long as we check out your background, we don't care where you come from. If we build the wall, I'm all in favor of the big door and the wall, as long as we check people out. Just like people that grow up under Sharia. That is the antithesis of our constitutional republic that they grew up under. I want to know that they share our values before they come here.
It's hard for them to assimilate into this country. And, you know, there are good people who come to our country. I agree with that. But the criminal element and the leniency shown in our court systems to these illegals who are giving lesser sentences than an American citizen would for the exact crime that that they have committed, and they're an illegal alien present in our country on top of it, this should be holding more of a punishment for them. And the fact that a lot of times all they do is deport them, when we have a porous border the way we do, I was just down to Glenn Spencer's ranch in southern Arizona, and there's a barbed wire fence is all that's separating Mexico. I climb through the barbed wire fence and climb back in 2 seconds. These are not the protections that America needs, and these criminals that are deported after they've committed heinous crimes, they're back over in a week. And because Steve and Agnes and I are privy to a lot of these articles that aren't out in mainstream media, they're back 15, 16, 18, 22 times, and they're committing heinous crimes every time they're here and every time they're deported. And this isn't, you know, I'm still getting guff out of it from a lot of people. You're a racist. This is not a racist problem, and this is not a way that liberals are going to deflect from this problem. They have to face it head on. These are illegal aliens, which means they are people unlawfully present in our country. I don't care where you've come from or what race you are. You are illegally present in our country, and this is what all three of us are fighting. This has to stop.
Yeah. I want to give Steve another opportunity to speak here because I just want people to hear your message because you have lived through this. You have, you know, we hear about Kate Steinle. We hear about, you know, this young woman, Molly Tibbetts. And I know people, some have heard your story, but many have not. And there's so many others. I bet, I don't know how many you all know together. I mean, I'm sure you've met a lot of these parents. I've met a lot of them over the years myself, Steve.
Yeah. And you know, Marianne and I, and Agnes, and Laura Wilkerson. I know she's a friend of the show. We've gotten to
love her. She's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, we get to meet these people, and we get to hear their stories, and I don't think there's any one of us that doesn't shed a tear with that family member because we know their pain. I put out a post the other day about, you know, can you imagine the pain that this family is going through? And at the end, I said, I can. And then, you know, there were several people that I didn't even know were out there. They posted a picture of their loved ones and answered, I
met a woman in Indiana. She doesn't want to do media, but it happened to her family. You know, and by the way, we talk about separation issues, which happened under Obama, and Donald Trump actually fixed it through executive order, but it really needs to be done by law. I don't think what he did through executive order is even constitutional. But he did it, and we need to fix the laws. And the only thing I will say to you is, you know, there are so many people that have literally, you know, it reminds me of Eric Bolling was on the show the other day, Steve, and he said, my son died of, he bought a Xanax that was laced with fentanyl, and I want people to know it can happen to them. And he's right, and so are you.
It's not a matter of if it's going to happen to you, it's a matter of when anymore with the amount of crime that's happening against American citizens. And we have formed Angel Families, angelfamilies.com. The website's going to be, it's a shell right now, but it's being built, Sean. And we've got, I mean, we have got an influx of angel families that are reaching out to us so that we can get their stories out and so that people don't think, well, it's just Steve and Agnes and Marianne and Laura and a few others who are out in the news. We are bringing these people to the light, and the American public is going to find out very, very soon how many of their fellow Americans have been affected by illegal alien crime.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with angel families. We'll tell you more about their web. We'll tell you about their website when we get back as we continue with Agnes Gibney, Steve Ronnebeck, and Marianne Mendoza. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, Angel Families. Now, they have a website we'll tell you about in a second. Agnes Gibney, Steve Ronnebeck, Marianne Mendoza, all lost children. Because of the illegal immigrants in this country. Real quick, Steve, I cut you off. I apologize.
That's all right. You know, and as Marianne said, and what I want to instill in the public is this is kind of like a rape victim. And I hate to use that analogy, but it is. So many rape victims are afraid to come forward or they don't want to come forward. There are so many of these families out there that have lost loved ones or they've had loved ones become addicted to heroin or their child may have been a rape victim to an illegal alien. And they don't want to come forward. They don't want to go through the agony of it. But
well,
we want to give them
run,
a form that they can.
Listen, you're all amazing people. Frankly, far better and stronger than I think I could ever be. I'm so sorry in each one of your cases. Agnes, thank you so much for being with us. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
Marianne, it's always a pleasure to talk to you again. And I know you're fighting for other parents and other families, and I hope people hear it. And we could do things that are compassionate but tough and smart and just full of common sense. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free number. By the way, the Senate candidate running against Elizabeth Warren is going to check in. Then we're going to get to your calls next. Blinds.com, you know, they're not just in the blinds business. They're in the complete home transformation business because that's what's going to happen when you get brand-new custom blind shades, shutters and drapes, all the big names at Blinds.com. You're going to look around when you're done and you're going to say, this looks like a remodel without that expensive cost. They're going to guide you through the entire process. You get free samples, free shipping, free professional online design consultation. Now, there's a reason. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. You get all those brand names. You get the lowest price possible, lower than any store can ever offer. And now through August the 29th, you're going to save up to 35%, plus take an additional 5% off site-wide just by using the promo code Hannity. That's 35% on top of their already low prices and an additional 5% off site-wide. Blinds.com, promo code Hannity. Quick break, right back on this Friday, and the candidate that could beat Elizabeth Warren next. All right, we're going to get to your calls in a second. First, I want to introduce to you, Jeff Diehl is with us, Senate candidate, Massachusetts, running against Elizabeth Warren. And, well, he had some interesting comments to say about Warren's comments about the death of Molly Tibbetts and his latest campaign ad.
My son, Matthew Denise, was 23 years old. He was kind, caring, outgoing. He was more than I could ever have hoped for in a son. My son was killed by someone who should never have been in the country. The only thing that has changed since Matthew's death is the death toll. It's estimated that there are 20 people a day killed by illegal aliens. That's over 7,000 people every year. My son is dead because too many politicians in local jurisdictions put illegal aliens ahead of Americans.
Very important story in the news. It has to do with Molly Tibbetts, the young woman in Iowa who was murdered. A person has been charged with it. This person is an undocumented immigrant.
We need an immigration system that focuses on where real problems are. I went down to the border. I met with those mothers who had been lied to, and there was no plan for how they would be reunified with their children.
And that's the latest ad of Jeff Diehl, Senate candidate, Massachusetts, running against Elizabeth Warren. Jeff, that's a tough ad. What's the reaction in Massachusetts been to it?
Well, Sean, thanks for having me on. And I'll tell you, people in Massachusetts disappointed once again with Elizabeth Warren. Just 2 weeks ago, she made that comment down in New Orleans that the entire criminal justice system, including law enforcement, are racist. I think people were extremely upset with that. Then to have that pretty heartless turn from talking about the family to what she considered to be the real problem, which was families being separated at the border, people, illegal immigrants over American citizens, that really has caused people to get upset.
Where was she when Obama did the same thing? And why doesn't she applaud? It was President Trump. I don't even think it's constitutional, his executive order, but he passed it anyway. He signed it anyway.
No, I know. And by the way, Sean, the other sad thing is 2 days ago when she made this comment, it was the 7-year anniversary of the loss of Matthew Denise. That's Maureen Maloney's son. That was Maureen Maloney's voice in the audio you just played. I asked her if she would introduce me at the convention 6 months ago when I won the Republican nomination to run against Elizabeth Warren. Maureen is an angel mom named by Donald Trump to that group. So she speaks nationally about this issue, about illegal immigrants killing American citizens. Those are the ones that are separated from their families permanently. And that's the problem with Elizabeth Warren. She doesn't seem to even want to acknowledge or recognize the problem. In fact, she's going the other way. She wants to eliminate ICE. And of course, she's villainized law enforcement.
Let me ask you this. Look, I know Bill Weld. There's been Scott Brown as an example. Massachusetts, every once in a while, kind of surprises the country. Although, let's be honest, they're more liberal Republicans. I'm not even a member of the Republican Party. I'm a registered conservative in New York. But it's not unthinkable, even in Massachusetts, and I lived 5 years on the border with Seekonk and Swansea, Massachusetts, and I remember it well. I lived in Rhode Island 5 years. But it's an uphill climb if a Republican wants to win in Massachusetts. Why do you think you can unseat her, especially with her, well, our national fame shooting through the roof?
Well, first of all, Sean, you remember Scott Brown being the 41st vote against the Unaffordable Care Act. Massachusetts was the blueprint for that plan, and yet we still sent Scott Brown because he explained how financially it wasn't going to benefit anybody. Of course, nobody's gotten that $2,500 annual savings. I led in 2014 a repeal of the indexed gas tax here in Massachusetts, putting $2 billion back in the pockets of people and businesses. And so that's been one another indicator of how fiscally aware voters in Massachusetts are. And I will tell you this, Donald Trump got more votes in Massachusetts than our Republican governor, Charlie Baker, who's one of the more popular governors around the country. So on paper, the votes are out there in this election.
Let me ask you this. Would it help your campaign, in your opinion, if Donald Trump went into campaign for you?
Absolutely. 20,000 Democrats unenrolled to vote for him in the primary. I was the only Republican who actually endorsed Donald Trump. I was his co-chair for Massachusetts. And he is delivering on all the promises economically. Massachusetts has country-leading low unemployment, 3.5%. We have over $1.2 billion in new revenue because of the job growth and wage increases because of the tax reform bill that, by the way, Elizabeth Warren voted against, and she called it crumbs, just like Nancy Pelosi. People in Massachusetts...
By the way, if they're just crumbs, why does everybody want their crumbs back so badly? If it's only crumbs, let us keep it.
People in Massachusetts will vote what's in their financial interest. They know with me that I've cut taxes, and I want to continue the progress that's happening in Washington. And Elizabeth Warren wants to take our country back to a socialist, you know, agenda of higher taxes. She wants, you know, obviously government-run health care, which doesn't work. We know the price tag on that, $32.6 trillion if she wants to implement that. And Elizabeth Warren, again, is so out of touch with reality. She's putting the interest of people who are not citizens over those of Americans. And, and I think the Tibbetts family, they deserve an apology, in my opinion, from her for being so basically unsensitive to the issue and really just trying to make political points out of this whole thing.
Well, so I can't really even admit this, but it's the truth. When I lived in Rhode Island, I could not get enough of watching Larry Bird and Parrish and DJ Kevin McHale, Danny Ainge, you know, going up against Magic Johnson and Showtime in Los Angeles. One of the greatest moments in NBA history, watching that rivalry, is one of the best ever. But as a New Yorker, that's a death sentence for me. Just so you know what I'm admitting here, it's a bad thing. Well, listen, we wish you a lot, Jeff. We're going to follow your race. It sounds like you have your pulse on the people of Massachusetts. I do think it's a long shot, but if people... In the era of Trump, people need to believe anything can happen. But we have the most important election, I think, in our lifetime this midterm, which is coming up in just 74 days. And we're going to follow your race closely. Thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate it. And people go to dealforsenate.com. They can be involved in helping me out as well. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Jeff Deal running in Massachusetts. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. Let's say hi to Kevin. He's in Virginia Beach, Virginia on the Sean Hannity Show. Happy Friday, Kevin. How are you?
Sean, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm watching our federal government fall apart in essence, man. I'm wondering why we're not looking at the fact that Mueller is actually, in a way, holding a, what's the word I'm looking for? blackmail.
Maybe blackmail? What are you saying? What are you suggesting?
Yeah, blackmail. I mean, how can we not be looking at the fact that we're holding over someone's head 300 years in jail to get him to flip? I mean, to me, that is nothing.
Well, I mean, it's like Rick Gates in the Manafort case. The big example is Sammy the Bull Gravano kills 19 people, but if he testifies against John Gotti, they'll give him a get-out-of-jail-free card and a witness protection program home in Arizona. I mean, there's something, and as John Sale pointed out, it had once been ruled by a court, but since overturned, that is a form of bribery, something of great worth, which is somebody's freedom. You can't put a price on freedom.
Well, what kind of an offense can the right mount to go against? It just seems so futile, except, I guess, when you go to the voting booth, you get to speak your mind and nobody gets to know, But literally, I've had people come at me because I had a little one-inch bumper sticker on my truck that said Trump on it. And it's just amazing.
Listen, you want a guarantee that your life is over? I'll tell you what you do. Let's say you get a subpoena. I want you to delete the emails. I want you to delete the hard drive. I want you to bust up your devices. You want to know what else? You could go before any judge. Don't corroborate the information. Just kind of make it up as you go along. Don't purposely omit key facts to the judge. See how well those maneuvers would work out for you, which is the point I made in my monologue on TV last night and on radio here yesterday, is we have a two-tier justice system, and it is, and the president even tweeted a lot about this morning. If you care about justice and equal justice, and if you care about equal application of American laws, and you believe in our constitutional republic, which is rooted in a system of equality, we better get this right. Because if we don't get it right, and we only selectively prosecute people that we politically disagree with and criminalize political differences, as a country, we're done. That's hyperbole. It's not hyperbole. And I'm telling you, cannot use the justice system as a weapon because you don't like somebody's political point of view. Or in the case of Donald Trump, the great disruptor, you don't like his style. That's really what it comes down to. Hey, look, he's like, as I've been saying, you take a pool after it's been sitting all winter. And, you know, all the algae's growing in the spring, and you open up the pool, it's disgusting. And you got to kill it. So what do? You shock the pool. Well, Donald Trump is a shock to the entire political insider swamp sewer infrastructure. And all those people that benefit from the sewer, they kind of hate his guts. Not kind of, they do. And they want to destroy him. And they want to bring him down. And Mueller's going to provide the roadmap in his report. That's how this, you want to know how this story ends? It's going to end with his report, the Giuliani report, and then the voters decide. That's how I guess it ends. And then you, the people. You don't think this is an important election? Oh, it is. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, that wraps up what is a huge and busy news week. But let not your heart be troubled, because why? Well, you have the weekend. We'll come back. We'll be ready for battle, political battle on Monday. As always, thanks for being with us. Have a great, safe, fun weekend, and we will see you back here Monday. And that's all for this week.